Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a partly cloudy Monday afternoon. Had some rain come through here this morning, and I don't know, a few dark clouds off on the horizon, and then we keep hearing about this cool front that's going to come through here Wednesday, and I can't wait. Saints won yesterday. Darren Rizzi was magic. His emotion, the fact that we saw a different expression on the face of a coach was unseen in several years with the Saints. I mean, what a change. And this was the one thing that I always talked about with Dennis Allen, and I talked about how it just seemed like the players were not responding to him, and they weren't. That's why the Saints had to fire Dennis Allen. And Darren Rizzi seems to be doing the job. Well, look, this is one game, and you can't judge him by one game, but, you know, any team, whether it's a sales team or a football team, they need a leader. They need somebody to act like a leader. I don't understand. I mentioned this earlier. I don't understand what Mickey Loomis saw in Dennis Allen over Darren Rizzi to promote Dennis Allen. And as I have said, I think the Saints are run more like a family. They treat each other like family. And all that's nice. But that's, you know, that's part of the New Orleans mentality. You know, we're all family here. And, you know, I mean, that's cool. It's a nice thing, but it's not gonna put a winning football team on the field. And Dennis Allen seemed like the obvious choice. It's like, okay, well, let's grant him this. This is the easy decision. We'll elevate him from defensive coordinator to elevate somebody who is the special teams coordinator. It wouldn't be protocol. And I guess the Saints were looking at protocol rather than just sheer emotion. So, look, I hope this charges up Mickey Loomis. I think it will. And I'm not saying that Mickey Loomis has not been actively involved in the team every step of the way, because I know he has been. But, you know, that decision really just delayed the growth of the Saints for a couple of years. And now it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, one player that I didn't mention yet is number 10, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, number 10. That guy reminds me of the first time I saw Rashid Shaheed touch the ball. This guy came from Buffalo. He joined the team the day before the game. The day before the game. And he was phenomenal. So, you know, look, it was an exciting victory yesterday, and we beat the Falcons, and that feels really good. LSU, let's not even talk about that. What an embarrassment. Maybe bringing the live tiger in the cage into the stadium was some kind of a jinx. But a couple of people have called the show and talked about how Brian Kelly, you know, he wasn't really that great at Notre Dame, and he didn't play SEC teams on a regular basis at Notre Dame, and maybe he doesn't know how to coach a team against other SEC teams, because Alabama embarrassed Brian Kelly and the Tigers. And Nussmeier, it just seems like he's getting worse as the season goes on. I don't know what's going on there. I'm not a quarterback coach, but I can see that he was really sharp in the beginning of the season, and he seems to kind of be falling apart. That's not good news. And I was really pulling for him because I feel like he, you know, kind of waited his turn and, you know, finally got his turn. All right, so the Saints win. That was great. This NFL player for the San Francisco 49ers, defensive star and defensive end, Nick Bosa, was fined $11,255 for wearing a MAGA hat on the field October 27th in a post-game interview. He kind of snuck up on an interview following the Sunday night football victory by the 49ers. The interview was with 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy. And he kind of snuck into the interview, and he was wearing a MAGA hat. And he might have been doing it just to promote Donald Trump. Well, the NFL doesn't allow that. That's against the rules. And for all of you who say you don't want performers to bring politics onto the stage, the NFL is entertainment. The field is the stage. And if you're against performers bringing politics into their performances, then you should also be against football players bringing politics into the game, even if it's the candidate that you're for. Because if you're for one candidate being exposed, then you're for the other candidate being exposed, unless you want to just admit, hey, I'm just a stupid hypocrite. I mean, you can always just admit that, but people don't want to admit that. So recognize that while you like the MAGA hat, it was wrong for him to do this, and you wouldn't have wanted him or somebody else to wear a Harris hat. So, yeah, I'm okay with it. And then the same player did the Trump dance as a touchdown celebration. That's not a dance that I would ever do in public if I didn't have to. So it's okay that he did that. I mean, I think it's, you know, that dance is kind of, I don't know, ambiguous in some ways. I don't, you know, okay, Trump did this kind of dance. It might be kind of tough to bust him on the dance thing. I'd let that go. But wearing the MAGA hat is deserving of being busted. Today is Veterans Day, and we are honoring a lot of veterans, and a lot of people want us to give shout-outs to veterans, and we did this earlier. And so let's go back to Ian, and we'll do some more shout-outs to veterans today as we just express our appreciation for all veterans, those who served, those who died, those who are serving today. Today is your day.
Yeah, and again, I said this last hour, but I just want to repeat it because it's important. The speed and the sort of brevity in with which I'm going to read these is not, you know, a reflection of their importance or the care that we have about them. It's just we don't have enough time to read all of these as they're written out.
Yeah, and so thank all of you for sending so many texts in to honor veterans, but we'll just do the best we can with these.
Kelly says, Happy Veterans Day, Dad. Thomas Dorgan, U.S. Navy, two tours in Vietnam. DR and Belchase and his wife are retired Army. Jesse Adolph Rosas, 1961 to 81, U.S. Navy, is now at rest at the Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Slidell. James Hand was a Marine medic in Vietnam. Thank you for your service to Brandon Myers, the son of one of our employees, Brandon Myers Sr. Here's a text that says, Captain John Brick, Mason, U.S. Navy. My three uncles were in World War I, Charles Mayfield, Curtis Crouch, and Herman Rogers. My other uncle, J.I. Mayfield, was in World War II. Michael Robbins, United States Air Force, 22 years, may he rest in peace, lost him in 2021. Pascal A. Giovingo, U.S. Navy, airplane mechanic, my grandfather and my hero. My father-in-law, Lieutenant Johnny Pitcher, Battle of Choisin Reservoir in Korea. I'm sorry, I don't totally know how to say that. Korean conflict. Our two veteran board members for Slidell Little Theater, Fred Martinez and Marcelo Barbaro. Shelly Rodriguez is a retired lieutenant commander. Let's see, my dad, Robert Tamplane Sr., submarine hunter, U.S. Navy. Billy Broyard is a U.S. Disabled Army veteran, Sergeant First Class, faithfully served for 24 years. Barry, the tractor driver here, he says he's got his two sons, Tyler Daigle in the U.S. Navy and Christian Quinones, Air Force. Let's see. Oh, yesterday was also the birthday of the United States Marine Corps. The Marines turned 249 yesterday. Thank you for that. That looks like it might be it for right now. And I'll just leave you with this one. We did talk a little bit about PTSD earlier today. This text simply says, PTSD has been around forever, just by different names. We called it shell shock in World War I, battle fatigue in World War II. Treatment was given to these veterans, but certainly more are aware of this now because of the media and the continuing conflicts that we get engaged in.
Yeah, and that's a very positive thing because it is a real thing what veterans go through. So, you know, if we didn't mention your name, it doesn't mean you're not important. Every veteran is important. And as I have said, I really respect veterans because they fought for my right to be on the air. They fought for my right to be doing this for over 50 years now. And the freedoms that we have to express our opinions. And President-elect Donald Trump has said that he wants to retaliate against those with different opinions. That cannot happen. That cannot be allowed to happen in the United States of America. And nobody should support that. We have the freedom to say ugly things about each other. We have the freedom to express differing opinions. And no president should ever even border on using the government to suppress freedom of speech.
I got just one more. Sorry, this one got stuck in it. All right. Frank in Long Island, who we know is a super listener and hears here every day, so I didn't want to skip this one. Frank says, my best friend and my father died in 1995. He was an army in World War II. On the front line when he came home, he opened a barber shop. A great man, Pop Fiorini. Pop Fiorini. Okay, I think I got that right. Thanks, Frank.
Okay, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 2004, Mohamed Somaya, the bodyguard for Liza Minnelli, sued Liza Minnelli for $100 million. He sued her for allegedly forcing him to have sex with her or he would be fired. So I guess he did it, and he sued her for $100 million. Now, I mean, she wasn't that bad looking. But I mean, Ian, how does that work? I mean, if somebody is forced to have sex with you, or you get fired. I mean, how does that start out? I mean, obviously, I mean, there's no foreplay. I mean, usually, you know, sex is, you know, two people coming together because they have emotions for each other. They love each other, or they're passionate toward each other, and they get involved in this, and it's a common bond, and so certain things lead to the ultimate act. But what if somebody said, no, you have to do this to me right now? How does that start?
What is your question? What are you asking me here?
Like the bodyguard is like forced to have sex with Liza Minnelli or be fired. I mean, how does that start? You know? Okay.
However, Liza Minnelli wants it to start, I would guess.
Yes. You will have foreplay with me.
I don't know. I wasn't there, man.
And it will be very sensitive, okay?
Oh, jeez.
All right. Boy, I know. She seems to have really been one of those kind of women. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Green Day wanted to prove that they were punk and they weren't some pop band. So on this day in 1997 at Tower Records, they performed in New York City at Tower Records. Green Day trashed the whole place. They smashed their instruments, they poured beer on the CD racks and spray-painted the windows. The label, however, paid $50,000 in damages, so everything was cool. But Green Day wanted to prove that they were punk. I'm Scoot on the
Legends.
Air. Legends in right, is right. All right, MSNBC beat CNN election night, and that's the first time that has happened. Fox News won overall, but MSNBC saw their ratings plummet after election night. Fox News, this was on Thursday after the election, the average daily viewers on Fox News were 2.6 million. In the coveted 25 to 54 age category, there was only 375,000. So, you know, all of the cable news networks are older than 25-54. Because out of 2.6 million, only 375,000 were in the 25-54 age demographic. And you know teenagers aren't watching, so it's old people. Same thing with MSNBC. They had Thursday, they had 596,000 total viewers. Just over a half million viewers. Only 71,000 were in the 25-54 demo. CNN brought in only 419,000 total viewers, 91,000 viewers in the demo. So CNN does better in the younger demo than MSNBC, and that doesn't surprise me. Fox News was up 60% from last year at this time. MSNBC was down 23%. CNN was down 40%. All right, let's get to a few of your calls. Let's go to Chuck in New Orleans. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hello, Chuck.
Live in St. Louis.
Hello.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to the show. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Hi. Are you doing dishes?
No, that's okay. I was at work, and I was just...
It's okay. I get it.
Okay, so I just called on two things, like conspiracy theories, why they may have developed and got heightened. Was during the Biden administration, they basically just disappeared on the American public. They never made any accountability for what they did. Joe Biden was constantly away from public scrutiny, basically treated it like a part-time job. So when things went wrong, things didn't get replied to, people start thinking, why not, and what might have happened when they don't get an explanation out of the government. And when they did, it was kind of filled with lies. Like Mayorkas would come out and say, the border's closed. Okay, well, everybody could see that it wasn't. Just explain your statement instead of just saying that and expecting people to believe it. Just like with the inflation, that it's, not as bad as it seems, but people felt it every day.
I don't consider those to be conspiracy theories.
No, I didn't say that. Why they came up with them when the government persistently, like Joe Biden, was basically hiding the whole term. He never really came out to the public very often. And when he did, it was very controlled.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of problems. There are a lot of problems with the Biden administration. We talked about all of those.
That got people thinking, okay, well, they're not going to explain it to us. We're going to think about what we think it might have been, since I'm not getting the explanation out of them. For instance, just even when the stupid balloon was flying over the country, they just were acting like it wasn't happening almost. I mean, they tried to pretend like it was nothing, don't worry about it, look away, and that.
Well, that was in the beginning.
It was a Coke in the White House.
That was in the beginning, and then. I mean, it changed. They took it seriously, after it had flown across the country.
Yeah, after like 90% of the country, they kind of said, okay, we can't deny this any longer. Not meaningless, but the Coke in the White House. They couldn't figure out anything, where it came from, anything. What if that had been a chemical that's dangerous? And they wouldn't have been able to figure it out. That just seems incompetence.
Well, this was an area where there, a lot of people have access to that area. So somebody could have brought in a bad chemical.
But they should see it. But you're supposed to be protecting the White House.
I would have thought they would have known who did that.
They did know.
Yeah.
They did know.
Oh, you think they did know?
Let anybody else know?
Well, maybe.
Well, I'd be very shameful if they didn't, because it was an anthrax.
So what's your...
I just, placed it in there.
What's your point?
That was one thing. And then that kind of fuels conspiracy theories when people feel like they're not getting explanations.
Yeah, because the conspiracy theory gives them an explanation for something they can't explain. Yeah.
Well, that should be explained, but isn't.
No.
And then with the insurrection, when Donald Trump got elected, he never got one day where the media and the government itself, the Democrats, were on him for every single thing he tried to do or did. All the media was against him constantly. So I think that amongst voters.
I mean, that happens, Chuck. I mean, look, you don't have to run for president. If you do, that's going to happen to you. I mean, stop playing the victim card. Republicans are supposed to be
a victim card.
You're playing the victim card. I mean, that's what you get. They did that to Obama. They did it to Trump. The media does that.
Not to any extent.
Well, first of all, Donald Trump started the war with the media by dissing the media. So if you attack the media is going to attack back. Donald Trump asked for it, and he got the coverage. But don't be a snowflake.
Don't play a
victim. It's like, oh, poor us. We're being beaten up by the media.
Don't ignore what happened.
I didn't ignore what happened. I mean, I'm in the media.
What they did was nuts. What about, let's say, the Kavanaugh?
Okay, wait. So wait.
When he tried to get into the Supreme Court.
Okay, wait, Chuck. You won the election. So what is your complaint? What's your bitch
here? I'm not talking about the election that just got happened.
Okay, so what's the problem?
Talking about how things developed to where they got to now. I'm not talking about he won.
Okay.
I don't even really care for him that much, but there was a change that needed to be made. The Democrats exposed themselves for what they were for 3.5 years, and that's why they got beat as bad as they did.
Yeah, they were beaten badly.
But they did.
But look, this business about, oh my God, we're victims now. I mean, there are so many examples of Republicans now being victims when Republicans have spent their lives criticizing anybody who played the victim card, and now they're victims. I'm reading a book called The Age of Grievance, and it is filled with examples of Republicans now, oh, poor us. Oh, I can't wear a MAGA hat. I can't do this. I can't do that. I mean, stop it. In your opinion, if you're for a guy, and you can say you don't care about Trump, but you're here defending him, Donald Trump, anybody who runs for president is a target. If you attack the media, you're going to be a bigger target. Donald Trump made himself a bigger target. Some of the things that he said made him a target. Ridiculous stuff like eating pets, ridiculous things like that made him a target. Killing babies after they're born made him a target for the media. He asked for all of this negative attention. So don't play the victim card like, oh, the media, poor us. If the media was so powerful, if the liberal media was so ominous, how did he win?
The reason that Republicans will believe anything, and that's everything from the pet eating all the way to Comet pizza, the reason that they'll believe anything isn't because the Biden administration didn't put out a press release about what they were doing about the Chinese spy balloon. The reason they'll believe anything is that Fox News and conservative media for 30 years has been telling them that their paranoia is patriotism. Their distrust of everything that the government does, of everything that the media reports on, is virtuous. And you should build your life around that. And you should refuse to listen to anybody who doesn't tell you exactly what you want to hear.
But I mean, listen to yourselves. Listen to the whining. Oh, the media is beating up on us. Poor Trump. Look, you run for, look, it happened to Obama. It happens to presidents. In some ways, it happened to George W. Bush. It happened to Bill Clinton. It's gotten worse since the Bill Clinton days. But when you're on the campaign trail, just spewing out ridiculous fantasy stories, the media is going to pay attention to that because it is the media's responsibility to hold politicians accountable. And I'm going to suggest to you that Donald Trump asked for, begged for, if you will, the media coverage that he received. So don't whine about it. All right, if you want to join us, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. We talk to Susan Cowsill all the time. She's a good friend of mine and a friend of our show. Her brother, Paul, is 72 years old today. So happy birthday to Paul Cowsill of the Cowsills. And, man, I remember this was a huge hit back in the late 60s. It was a real hippie song. And today, you know, Susan has an incredible, incredible voice. And when she's out performing, if you see her performing somewhere, go see her. She really is incredible. I'm Scoot, and we will be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1971, Alice Cooper released this song, I'm 18. It was his first hit. And the song was about young people in America who could be drafted to fight in Vietnam, but were too young to drink or vote. You know, Alice has always been very politically savvy and has always had political messages and social messages in his music. He's a conservative, but I would say Alice is sort of a moderate conservative. Maybe he's kind of a modical radical. Alice Cooper, yeah, first hit was a statement about being able to fight or being told you had to go fight, but too young to drink and vote. No, that's always an interesting topic. All right, I'm Scoot. Let's get to David in Covington. Hey, David, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. First off, I want to thank the veterans out there.
Thank you. It's good.
I wouldn't be able to give you a call like I am.
And I wouldn't be able to do what I do. So, yes, we thank Veterans Day on Veterans Day.
I just want to make a statement about what you said about you setting the record straight about Kamala being the border czar.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's been some congressional hearings. Well, actually, there was a couple of congressional hearings on the Department of Homeland Security. It's going to have to turn over unredacted copies of White House officials' correspondence with the Department of Homeland Security that refers to Kamala as the border czar.
Well,
I mean,
that doesn't.
Well,
first of all, there's never been a border czar position until now. Donald Trump has appointed somebody border czar. There have been drug czars, but there's never been a border. There's never been a border czar up to this point.
Talking about Kamala Harris.
Well, there's never been a border czar at the White House until now.
That is a border czar. She was appointed to take care of.
No,
border and
that's
immigration.
Not. I'm sorry, David. That's not true. It's what you've been told. It's what you've been told.
There's been congressional hearings that the Department of Homeland Security is going to have to turn over documents stating that they refer to Kamala Harris as the border czar.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
I'd like to see that. First of all, you want to send me the information? My email address is scoot@wwl.com.
Yeah. I realize that. But
send it to me. I'll take a look at it.
I feel that you're misleading
Well,
people,
no, I'm not
so
misleading people, David, and I'm not going to let you mislead people on this show. The fact is that there has been no border czar up until this point when Donald Trump has appointed somebody border czar. The media gave Kamala Harris the nickname Border Czar, and her job was to go and find out what would make people in other countries not want to come here, what could be done to improve things in other situations. I can't change the facts, David. Now, I can't allow you to just say something that you've been told that you believe, and if you want to send me the information about Congress, but even Congress can refer to her as the border czar, but Congress didn't appoint her as border czar, neither did Joe Biden. So I'm just going with the facts here.
There could be some middle-level employee at the Department of Homeland Security that referred to her incorrectly as a border czar in an email or something, and if that comes out in a congressional hearing, like, okay, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't materially change the fact that that was not her job. And everyone that's paying attention knows it.
Yeah, I don't know why we're still arguing about this. Again, if you are locked in a conservative echo chamber, you're going to hear things on this show that you're not going to hear in the conservative echo chamber. Therefore, you're going to question whether or not I'm right. But I have never said a lie about Donald Trump or about Republicans on this show. And whenever this comes up, nobody can ever name a lie that I've ever told, which I find pretty fascinating. Let's go to Patrick in New Orleans. Patrick, you're on WWL.
How you doing, Stu?
Good.
Hey, some guy called earlier and he asked what freedoms have been lost. You might want to ask a few females out there what freedoms have been lost in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And many of them are scared that other freedoms are going to be lost. And, you know, to...
All right, you're kind of breaking up there, Patrick. Hope we didn't lose you.
Yes. Hello?
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah, I've got you now.
What I was saying is, for those who didn't pay attention in civics course, when you have the House, the Senate, and the Supreme Court, you pretty much have all the power you need to do anything you want to take away anything you want.
Right.
And when you're dealing with someone like Donald Trump, who's unpredictable, you know what? Those MSNBC voters were throwing up. That's the reason why the viewership was down the next night.
Yeah.
So that kind of solves that. But going back to that guy, his grandfather fought at Omaha Beach. Why were those kids on at Omaha Beach that walked out with bullets flying over their heads for the very freedoms that you and I enjoy? Yeah,
that's right.
Can I tell you, his grandfather's throwing up today on Veterans Day.
Yeah.
You know, it's absolutely insane that the very people who spend $15,000 to send their kids to Holy Cross voted for this man, who's broken every Ten Commandment, who is in absolutely no way anyone to look up, that you want your kids to look up to, and it's so aggravating.
Well, Patrick, we'll have a lot to talk about. I've got to get to a break here. Yeah, because this caller says that, and I want to see it, but because this caller says that there's a reference to Kamala Harris as border czar, does not mean she was ever appointed border czar. Does not mean that she sat behind a desk with the name on it, border czar. There has been no border czar until Donald Trump appointed one in the last day or so. There have been drug czars, but there's been no border czar. Not even Kamala Harris was the border czar. Believe what you want to believe. I deal with facts on this show. All right. On this day in 1978, Donna Summer's disco version of MacArthur Park was the number two. No, it went to number one. It was number two for Richard Harris in 1968. The disco version of this song was number one in America on this day in 1978. And I love this line in the song. Does this make sense to you? What? Someone left the cake out in the rain? I don't think I can take it. I don't think I'll make it. I'll never have that recipe again. What the hell was that about? I'm Scoot. It kicks up from here. I think at some point I may have been wearing polyester, dancing to this in Fat City. Not proud of that moment, but again, I tell you the truth about my life. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Mike Dettelier, Bobby Hebert, second guest show live from the Silver Slipper Casino coming up next at 6:30, the Coach's Show with The Riz. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager, senior producer of our show, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, and traffic with Joe Cardosi. And thank you for being part of the show, and a special thanks to all of you veterans, those who served and those who continue to serve. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done for our country. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.